peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is simply this: How Much? Based on the Old Testament prophet Micah, verses 6 to 8, which read, "With what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Again, our title is How Much? I encourage you to follow the sermon outline on the handout given to you this morning. Well, imagine this scene. You walk out of the grocery store only to hear that terrible sound, you know the sound, of metal scraping against metal. And when you get closer to your car, you see a man bending over your car looking at a scrape on your vehicle. When you ask him what happens, he apologizes immediately and he says he's so very sorry. As he was backing out, he rubbed up against your car and caused the damage. But he begs you that this incident doesn't go on his driving record. He already has a bad record. He's on probation with his insurance company. He wants to pay you directly for the damage. And then he asks you this question: How much will it take to make this whole thing go away? He reaches for his checkbook, and by the look of his expensive car, he's good for the money. And the question is, would you take the check? Well, it can be said that the people of Israel also had a bad driving record. They had numerous fender benders and ended up in too many ditches which you couldn't even count. That is to say, they spent their existence rejecting God, turning away from Him, getting into spiritual car wrecks again and again. They worshipped the idols of the nations around them. They started practicing their immoral practices. They were faithless to a faithful God. Repeatedly, they told God they were sorry. And they tried to get right with Him. And like it was with the man in the grocery store parking lot, they asked God, "How much will it take to make this whole thing go away?" And when God's prophets addressed their rebellion, like the prophet Micah in our text for today, Israel pulled out their sacrificial checkbook and started negotiating with God. Today's sermon text from Micah 6, verse 6, tells us their initial negotiating offer. "With what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old?" Exodus 12, verse 5 tells us that a year old calf was the number one choice of the Hebrew sacrificial system. Surely, they reasoned, this offer would appease God. It would buy him off. But sensing perhaps some hesitation on God's part, Israel increased their negotiating offer. Verse 7 says, "Well, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil?" If quality didn't impress God, maybe quantity would do the trick. Maybe it would buy him off. They would overwhelm God with their superb generosity. But again, perhaps sensing God's hesitation, Israel placed the ultimate negotiating offer on the table. The next verse says, "Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Did you catch that? Israel was offering God their firstborn child in sacrifice. Surely this would be an offer God could not refuse. Now, before we consider the results of Israel's negotiations with God, let's pause for a moment and think about our own efforts to bargain with God. Now, while we don't barter with calves or oil, often we still try to negotiate with God for His affections. We may promise to attend worship weekly and not miss a Sunday if God will just forget those harsh words we spoke about somebody in our family. Well, if attendance alone won't appease God, maybe we reason we'll throw an extra tip into the offering plate. That couldn't hurt to make up for our sinful activities of the past week. And if things are really bad, surely sacrificing our time and talent, doing a job in our community or our homes, or especially in the church, no one else will do, will certainly be an offer God can't refuse. Can you think of other ways in your lives you've tried to negotiate with God? God, if you will just, then I will. The prophet Micah revealed that Israel's negotiating offers and ours are woefully inadequate. In Micah 6, verse 8, he says this, "No, he has shown you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That is to say, Almighty God wants our very hearts and our very lives. The demands of Almighty God go far beyond any external actions, far beyond bringing out the checkbook of calves or oils or attendance or good deeds. The demands of Almighty God fall squarely in our hearts. Weekly church attendance alone cannot impress God, because He's more concerned with His presence in your heart than your attendance in His house. Your money alone can't buy off the Almighty One, because He's more concerned with the state of your heart than the weight of your offering envelope. Your noble actions alone cannot turn the head of our Heavenly Father, because He's more concerned with the condition of your heart than the contents of your hand. Let me ask you, let's go back to that store parking lot. What if the man in the parking lot had sideswiped your child instead of your car? Would you still consider his offer? Would you stand over the wounded body of your child and negotiate a price to make the offense just go away? But that's pretty much what we do when we try to negotiate with God over our sin. We stand over the wounded body of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and ignore the cross, ignore the sacrifice, hoping that our paltry promises and our empty good deeds will somehow pay for our sins. This kind of thinking is just the opposite of what many consider the single foundational Bible passage of our Lutheran Reformation faith in our church. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, and it reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." To use the words of the prophet Micah, what does the Lord require of you? With every fiber of our hearts, not to trust in our own efforts, but to trust in the One He has sent to be our Savior. To trust in the One who is God's grace in human flesh. To trust in the One who is God's gift to a sinful and dying world. My friends, we're talking about Jesus. In John 3:16, we see God's solution to our sin problem. And the solution has nothing to do with our man-made sacrifices. It has everything to do with God's sacrifices. You know the passage, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On the holy cross of Calvary, we see the only sacrifice that pays for our sin. Now, aha, think back to Micah chapter 6. Do you remember the last negotiating offer that Israel made with God? Listen again to their final offer to God. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? And wonder of wonders, this is exactly what Almighty God did. He gave his firstborn for our transgressions. He gave his beloved son, his only son, for you, for me, for the sins, for the transgressions of the entire world. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Now, again, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. This amazing sacrifice should compel us to bow our heads with awe and wonder. This amazing sacrifice should compel us to lay aside any thoughts of negotiating with God for his love and forgiveness. This amazing sacrifice should compel us to fall upon our knees and to proclaim at least a few words of that amazing hymn, Rock of Ages, words like these: not the labors of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Amazing, isn't it? We sin, and God provides the solution. We rebel, and God provides the reconciliation. We mess up, and God cleans up the mess. Why? There's only one reason. One simple, shocking, amazing reason. He loves you, Leslie. He loves you, Larry. He loves you, Ian. Thank God he loves me. I clearly remember the first time in my life I realized the depth of God's love for me. Many of you here know I was not raised in a Christian home. Never even came face to face with the person of my Savior until I was in confirmation class, my first time in a house of God. Well, I was in confirmation class as a young teenager, and during that year, a professional drama group came to our church to do an evening performance. The drama they were presenting focused on the life of a man who lost his only son, his only boy, who was killed riding his bicycle and hit by a drunk driver. The little boy was the man's entire life. He was his reason for working and living. And after the boy's death in the play, the man got angrier, angry with God. He turned his back on God, turned his back on the church, and gradually withdrew into a deep despair. He felt that God didn't care. He felt that God didn't understand his pain. And the drama ended with a very powerful scene, as all the lights in the church went up and the spotlight focused on the man kneeling with his fist raised to heaven, shouting these words: God, do you even care? God, do you understand my pain? God, do you have any idea what it means to lose your son, your one and only son? Then the lights went out. And as we sat there in that darkness, those words echoed in our ears: God, do you have any idea what it's like to lose your only son? And for me, in the first time in my life, and for many others that night, the answer was clear. God knows what it means to lose his only son. For God willingly gave him up for you and for me. He loved us so much that he gave up his one and only for you and me and for our salvation. How much did the forgiveness of our sins cost God? Look at that cross. You'll have your answer. Today's sermon asks the question, how much? The answer has nothing to do with how much we must sacrifice to get God's love and forgiveness. The answer has everything to do with how much God has given and sacrificed for us. How much? Again, my friends, we're talking about Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.